Today on Family Talk.
As your spiritual life goes, so goes the rest of your life. That should impact the way we take care of ourselves physically. That should impact the way we take care of our relationships, our finances. If you don't deal with all those four big matters, you have that emotional gauge out here that's like up, down, up, down, up, down. And it most of the time reflects this volatility that so many people live in.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a radio division of the James Dobson Family Institute. What you just heard was a clip from part one of an interview between my colleague, Dr. Tim Clinton, and Dr. Ronnie Floyd. During yesterday's program, they discussed Dr. Floyd's new book, Living Fit, and what it means to be a God-centered person. If you missed that conversation, go to drjamesdobson.org to listen to it in its entirety. Dr. Floyd is the current chairman of the National Day of Prayer and former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He is an accomplished author, speaker, and pastor. You probably already know that, but I told you again. Today, he and Dr. Tim explore how our spiritual wellness can directly impact our emotional, relational, and financial life. Let's listen now to part two of that conversation, which was recorded at the 2018 AACC Mega World Conference. Let's hear what they had to say.
Well, welcome back into day two. We're talking about living fit, making your life count by pursuing a healthy you with our special guest, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, pastor, president of the National Day of Prayer, and a man who really needs no introduction. God is using him mightily. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Institute. And Dr. Floyd, let's pick up where we left off yesterday, talking about relationships. Bottom line, life's all about relationships. Get them right, you're blessed. Get them wrong, you're on a journey, probably a tough journey. Mm. You know, we've learned a lot about the mind, brain, body, relationship connection. Mm-hmm. We know simple things like exercise, diet and exercise has a profound influence on the endorphins in your brain and more. Yeah, no it affects question. Your mood. That's it can affect depression, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so your body is the temple, and we're to take care of it. And I love what you're saying. It's about how I can live well.
Yeah, well, you know, Tim, just a couple of weeks ago, I preached on the passage when the scripture says, you know, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And so many times somebody might say, oh, my goodness, that's such a waste of time. The Bible says that I shouldn't take bodily exercise. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said it just doesn't profit much. Didn't say it didn't profit at all. And so, you know, the thing is, godliness is ultimately profitable. One of the things that I do is that I try to use that time in my personal life to pour into my heart, into my life with various podcasts, with various messages from the Word of God or leadership talks that help me be better where I'm just not feeling like, well, I'm just over here on some ego trip. It's not like none of us need to dream that we're going to look like that guy or that gal on that magazine cover. Hey, they don't look like that either.
No.
You know? But again, the issue is not perfection. The issue is progression. And that's where we need to be.
Relationships. Mm-hmm. You emphasized that early on. I couldn't agree with you more. I think life really is all about relationships, vertically with God, horizontally with others. Get them right, you're blessed. Mm-hmm. Get them wrong, you're going to journey. You're going to have pain in your life. Mm-hmm. Dr. Floyd, what are some of the lessons you've learned in the ministry around leaders about relationship equity? Mm-hmm. What are the one or two key elements that God has just said, that's it. That's how you press in. That's how you build closeness. Mm-hmm. You know, in marriage, we're talking now a lot about emotional closeness. Mm. Do you have that in your marriage? Mm. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it comes back. You really need to value the place of people in your life. Oftentimes, we dismiss that. We need each other. But also, I think it's a matter of determining. And I learned this lesson probably 30 plus years ago as a young pastor. And I learned the following lesson. Never let anyone outside of your circle of love. Doesn't matter what they say about you, to you, write about you, do anything about you. You never let anyone out of your circle of love. And so as a pastor, all these years, everybody needs a pastor. And I really do my best. It doesn't matter what someone thinks. I love them. I don't love them on the basis of what they do for me. I love them just the way Jesus loved me, unconditionally, sacrificially, willfully. And that's the way we need to love one another. So I think that's very important. Never let anyone outside of your circle of love. And I've never forgotten what John Maxwell taught me years ago. You've heard, I'm sure, the story. And that is, what does he say? So many leaders, especially, they don't know when to step up in their leadership because, you know, at times they've had rocky relationships here and there. But what does he tell us to do? You invest in people. You get change in your pocket. So then at the right time, you will know when you can really take people up along the way because you've invested in them, because they know you love them more, because you have that relational equity with them. You know, we need to earn people's trust. And we live in a day in this country when trust is so diminished. It's so minimized. And there's so much anger. And people are packing so much stuff. They bring that into every marriage. They bring it into every relationship. And I learned this going to the Cooper Clinic years ago. And I go every year. And one year I went, and I was on a treadmill. I didn't do as well on my test. My doctor said, you know, man, you're overweight. And I said, yeah. I said, man, it's just one of those things. I don't normally do that. He said, well, you need to imagine yourself. He said, you're like about 20 pounds over, and you don't need to be that, and I'm never over that. And he said, Ronnie, you need to remember, when you're overweight, it's like you getting on a treadmill with two 10-pound bags in your hand, and you're asked to walk places you don't need to go because you're overweight. You're not taking care of yourself. And that's true about the physical, but let me tell you something. That's even more true about relational. There are a lot of us packing bags of unforgiveness, bags of anger, bags of resentment, bags of disappointment and discouragement in relationships. And how are we going to see things clearly? We can't see people clearly when we're jaded, and we become jaded with the way we see everyone because of it's our problem. We're the ones with the backpacks. Yeah. We need to check those packs at the door, man. And people need to do that in marriage. They need to do it in their relationships and in business. I mean, we got to get our act together, man. And we need a relationship.
It's hard
renewal.
To let it go, Dr. Floyd.
Yeah,
you know that?
Hard.
People want to, they harbor it. They want to swallow the pain.
Sure.
Like they say, it's drinking poison.
The word forgiveness, that's what it means. It means to release. And we have to release. I like to add release and let it go. Because in reality, that's what ultimately the scripture is saying. There are times you just have to simply forgive and let it go. Your calling as a Christian is not to always have the last word. Your call as a Christian is to do what's right. Yeah. And to do what's right is you let it go and you accept people where they are. Everyone's not perfect, including us.
Relationships, man, they take a lot of work.
No. It's hard,
but it's
hardest
beautiful.
Work in the world.
It's beautiful to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you or be there for you, and they actually love you.
Absolutely.
And they're there for you. And it's painful,
sure,
Dr. Floyd, to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't love you.
And that's sad.
We've got to do the work. We've got to do work.
Yeah, it's hard. It's the grind. I want to go back to the grind. It's about the grind. I mean, you know, I've been married a long time. But you know what? It's awesome most days. And there are those days when it's just a little, you know, challenging. Now, that doesn't mean we don't love each other, but we work through it.
We work through it.
The smallest things can become big things if we don't work through them. And so, you know, that's
it's amazing, Dr. Floyd. They say now one of the key elements to a healthy relationship is the ability to accept influence from that other person.
Mm-hmm.
I can't accept influence from you if I don't believe your heart is toward me.
Absolutely.
You know that?
Sure. That's right.
And so getting and living in that space mm-hmm. is what this is all about.
Yeah. Gina was my wife. I mean, she speaks truth to me all the time. Most of the time, I don't mind hearing it. And then every now and then, she lays a little prophetic word on me, but I lay a few with her at times along the way. So it's part about growing.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, host today, and our special in-studio guest, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, pastor, president, head of the National Day of Prayer, a man God is using mightily. We're talking about living fit. Make your life count by pursuing a healthy you. Not easily done. Let's talk money.
Sure.
This is the fourth area that you talk about. Dr. Floyd, life lessons you've picked up.
You know, I did my doctoral work in the area of biblical stewardship, and I think the greatest lesson I learned in all of that was this lesson. God owns everything. When we understand God owns everything, we understand that money is a tool. We know that it's not ours. We know that we need to keep our hands open in relationship to money, never close our fist. God's not into selfishness. He's into unselfishness, giving, generosity, being kind to others, doing everything you can to move the ball forward in the lives of other people, especially for the Lord. And another thing I've learned about money is that while money can destroy, money can bless. And what you want to do is, again, I want to quote my friend John Maxwell, who taught me this many, many years ago. John said, Ronnie, you know, the problem with so many people along the way is that they think they don't have enough money. So let me tell you what money does. Money does one thing for you. He said, money gives you more options. That's all it does. And it doesn't do any more for you. It's just a tool. And the more you have, the more options you have. But then, you know, I live in an area where we're the home of Walmart, J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods. We have about 1,400 to 1,600 national companies that have presence in our region to service the Walmart account. I have VPs and all kind of people, as well as presidents and CEOs that have been identified with my church through the years. And the one thing that I've learned from watching their lives, all of them is it's not about how much money they have. It's about the priority and what they do with what they have. People always think, boy, if I just had more money. That's not the answer. The answer is that you get in there and you develop the right kind of principles. I quote Dave Ramsey in this book. And I would encourage them to go into a place like he goes, into Financial Peace University, taking people through that. Do everything you can to learn basic principles about money. Then you'll know how to operate. What happens so much of the time, people are never taught that. And what you don't know, you can't do. And you only practice what you believe. And if you don't even know, you can't believe. So it's important we learn.
One of my favorite quotes was by Evie Hill, Pastor Evie Hill. Remember him?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, when God blesses you, he rarely has you in mind. Another great statement. Really stuck with me.
Yeah,
you
know, grace, man.
The money piece is really important. You know, they say that the number one issue now in marriage, the greatest challenge, is the money challenge.
Absolutely.
So getting this straight. To everybody listening out there, these are lanes again that you've got to give attention to. You've got to give attention to all of them. One of them gets out of kilter, two of them gets out of kilter, you're in a spin.
Absolutely.
Quick.
Yeah.
Dr. Floyd, we're going to close up our time together talking about the emotional side. You're not afraid to talk about that piece of life. It's a journey for all of us.
Absolutely.
And at times life can get discouraging.
Sure.
And you can get to a place where it's pretty dark. You can get anxious. You can feel like there's little or no hope. People can get to a place where, like Ecclesiastes 6:7 says, all the labors of a man's hands are for his mouth, but his soul goes unsatisfied, where you start reaching for things to satisfy the ache or the hole in your soul, your heart. They'll never quench the thirst or the cry of the soul. But we reach. We reach. It's idolatry, really, in Scripture. You know that? And God hates it when we give our heart to someone or something else.
Sure.
But Dr. Floyd, couple of life lessons about managing the emotional side of life.
Well, Tim, I think for me, and I want to talk just from my heart to people today, You know, I've been in ministry a long time. Ministry at times can be very disappointing. Disappointment into people leads into discouraging days. And that's why you find a lot of ministers who really struggle with massive discouragement, deep depression. In fact, if I go and I speak all the time at pastors' conferences or conventions of various denominations, and I'm always told this: all I know, Ronnie, is just talk about how to encourage our leaders. Our leaders are discouraged. Our leaders are discouraged. Well, you know, I'm not going to have a pity party. I mean, I deal with all that myself. Sooner or later, you got to rise up. But at the same time, it's real. It's really real.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do is we have to reach up to God. We've got to reach out to people. We've got to do everything we can to look, I think, at those other four matters: my spiritual life, my physical condition, my relationships, my finances, because a lot of times, you know, that emotional thing reflects what's going on in one of those areas.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, you know, because of the relationship issue, which I think the vast majority of us in relationships, when that's just full of stuff, which is where the country is and where so many families are today, then, boy, that emotional thing can be so volatile. That's why we're seeing in the country today this mass resenting anger that is just beyond. I mean, how do you explain that? Why are people so mad? Why are they so angry? Huh. I wanted to ask these people, why are you so angry, man?
To me, it's also, why are you so hateful?
Oh, my goodness. Huh? The way we treat one another at times is like, wow, okay, dude. I mean, it's like, just wears you out. And I just don't get it. But again, I'm not where they are. But when you get there, you need to understand that's not where you need to be. And you've heard this said, Tim, and I say it in the book: hurt people hurt people.
They do.
I mean, that, the bottom line is, when somebody's rude to you or mad at you or treats you wrongly, man, you got to let it go, because you have to remember, hurt people hurt people. Somebody hurt that person. They're just in a bad way. They see everything jaded and wrong. And, you know, somehow we got to reach within and not get poisoned by that. We need to create in our families, in our churches, in our businesses, a life-giving culture.
Love it.
Versus this other. There is a better way. I think God has a better way.
You know, a lot of people get started, and then they get stuck.
Yeah.
It's devotions. Mm-hmm. It's their diet, their exercise program,
right.
Making amends. Mm-hmm. They'll take a step, and they'll hit the gym for a week. But, you know, they say it takes, what, 28, 30, whatever days to a habit. What is it? How do you really press through? I know you start out the book with some declarations that are really important.
Yeah.
You know, that God has a purpose for my life. I'll pursue God's purpose. I believe that nothing can hinder God's purpose in my life. And I'm going to serve out God's purposes in my life for the rest of my life.
That's right.
But Dr. Floyd, what do I do to stay the course?
I think the key is discipline. Discipline is a word we don't like to hear, but it really comes back to discipline. What is discipline? Discipline is doing what I know I need to do, even when I don't want to do it. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Loving a person that's rude to me.
Yeah.
Walking through a tough time in life or something. Walking through a season of pain in some area. Dealing with a financial challenge or whatever it may be. I mean, I've got to be disciplined. And it comes back to every day. Every day. Every day's a new day. Sometimes, man, we get so weighted down by the day, and let's say we just live a day of defeat. I mean, boy, we get up, lo and behold, what happened? You go to the end of that day, and it's a wreck, and you feel guilty, you feel horrible. Next day, get up, and you just have to fight through it. You know, discipline in your quiet time, discipline with your devotion, discipline in exercise, discipline in relationships. Remember, love people and never let anybody outside of your circle of love. If you'll just operate by that, that can change your life.
I saw a piece online not long ago. It was a military officer, I think a general, and it was talking about if you want to change your life, you want to change your life, first thing you need to do is get up out of bed and make your bed. It starts with getting going and disciplining yourself.
That's right. No
make
question.
Your bed every day.
Absolutely.
Dr. Floyd, you know, I think it would be really fitting if you wouldn't mind just maybe praying for our listeners, praying for all of us, praying for our nation for a moment, that God would have his way in all of our lives and in our country. Would you do that for us?
Absolutely. Father in heaven, I pray for every man, every woman, every teenager today who is listening to this broadcast. And we pray that whatever they're walking through in life, they'll know that God is with them. Whatever they're facing in life, may they know that the battle is not theirs, but the battle is the Lord's. I pray that if they're battling and walking through disappointment, depression, a broken relationship, a financial issue, emotional pain, a spiritual challenge or struggle, a relationship that they are absolutely devastated, no longer is for them, I pray that you would see them through, and I pray they'll have the discipline in life to keep their eyes on the Lord and to live every day like it's a new day. And we pray for our nation. We pray that you would somehow, some way, step in and give us guidance and help us to discover what Jesus talked about, loving one another. In his name we pray. Amen.
Dr. Floyd, thank you so much for being with us. Hey, National Day of Prayer 2019.
Absolutely.
Quick update on it.
Absolutely, Tim. I want everyone right now to mark their calendars on May the 2nd. On Thursday, May the 2nd, 2019, is the National Day of Prayer. Our heart, our vision, our passion is that every town, every city, every county along the way will have a special observance of the National Day of Prayer. Major cities will have multiple gatherings, of course, because of the massiveness of the cities. And we have that in many cities. But we need to cover every town, every city, every village, every county with a National Day of Prayer gathering. Help us. We'd love you to go to nationaldayofprayer.org and learn what you can, and we'll help you through the day.
Dr. Foley, this has been a pleasure to have you two days here on Family Talk. And we really appreciate your ministry and the heart you have and the call to live fit, to make your life count by pursuing a healthy you. Yeah, it's tough, but it's something we got to do every day.
Absolutely.
And in the end, my mother used to say this, doing right doesn't always feel right, but in the end, it's always right.
That's right.
It's the right thing. Dr. Dobson really appreciates you, your heart, your firm commitment.
Thank you.
In this day, and we will stand with you.
Thank you.
With the National Day of Prayer.
Thank you very much.
What an informative conversation we've heard these last 2 days here on Family Talk, featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ronnie Floyd. Again, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn how to get a copy of Dr. Floyd's new book, Living Fit. There you'll also find a link to the first part of their conversation on yesterday's program. Visit drjamesdobson.org and then click on the broadcast page. As we close, I wanted to quickly tell you about an easy way to listen to Family Talk. If you're searching for a radio station near you that airs our daily programs, use our Station Finder feature at drjamesdobson.org. Under the broadcast menu, click on the Family Talk radio station button. From there, you'll see our interactive map of all our radio affiliates. I just sit around and by the fire and read that every day. Simply click on the state or country where you live and then see when we're airing in your neighborhood. Go to drjamesdobson.org now and take advantage of our Station Finder feature. Before we end this program, I want to remind you that right now is a great time to partner with us at James Dobson Family Institute. From today through the remainder of 2018, every dollar you give will be doubled thanks to a very generous matching grant. This match will stay in place until we've hit our target, and we rely entirely on your support all year long, and especially as we head into the winter months. I hope you will stand with us in our fight for marriages and families going into 2019. This is a lot of fun, folks. Help to make it possible. Learn how you can partner with us and participate in our end-of-the-year matching grant by going to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. This is Dr. James Dobson, and I want to thank you all for listening today and for your continued prayers and support. And I hope you'll join us next time for more of Family Talk. Until then, God's blessings to you all.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.